This message is brought to you by 12 Stone Church. Pastor Kevin Queen delivers the teaching entitled Honor versus Dishonor, the second in the series Trending. Should you need additional information, please go to 12stone.com. There you will find many resources, including this teaching in both audio and video formats in the media section. There is also an extensive archive of past teachings. We hope this serves you well. Please enjoy.
Welcome to 12 Stone, and we're in our series Trending, and it's an honor to be able to share with you today. Now, I want to tell you, I had an opportunity to teach a leadership forum every year. Gwinnett County Schools puts on a leadership forum for high school student leaders. At the end of the school year, I had a chance to give one of the leadership talks, and at the end of the leadership talk, they had a kind of a Q&A time, and one of the students raised their hand from the back and asked a question. He said, if you could go back and talk to yourself as a freshman in high school, what piece of advice would you give yourself? That's a good question. Now, to set things up, let me let you know a little bit about myself when I was in high school. I graduated from Central Gwinnett High School. Any black knights? All right, one. And so, Central Gwinnett, and I graduated from there. And when I was in high school, my primary value, the thing I valued the most, was getting people to laugh. That's what I wanted in high school. And so that led to me doing all kinds of stupid things, like trying out to be the mascot. And they actually picked me. But I was the only person to try out. And so got the job, and that led to other stupid things like trying to slam dunk a basketball during halftime of the basketball game. And so I got my dad's exercise trampoline from the garage and set things up. You guys want to see it?
Yeah.
Here you go. So if you were following along, the trampoline broke. One of the legs just broke right off. But one of my cousins was a lot smarter than I am, and he said, if you just turn the trampoline around, you'll get a shot at redemption. You'll get another chance. You guys want to see what happened after that? There you go. Let's pause it right there. See that girl that I'm hugging? That's Ree. That's my wife today. So giving her a hug. I'm whispering in her ear, you will marry me one day. We will get married. No, I'm not whispering that, but it was an awesome, awesome moment. And so I told that student, the answer I gave is I would tell myself as a freshman in high school not to try to slam dunk off a trampoline. That wasn't what I told him. Here's what I told him. If I could talk to myself 23 years ago, what I would tell myself is be wise with your words. Build people up, don't tear people down. Honor other people. Because 20 years from now, they won't remember your GPA, they won't remember how many points you scored. They'll remember the words that you said to them and the way you made them feel. See, the stupidest thing I did in high school was not trying to slam dunk a basketball off a trampoline. The stupidest thing I did in high school was devaluing another person to try to get a laugh for some other people. See, when I was in high school, there was a word that was trending, and the word is the word diss. Now, diss is an abbreviation for disrespect, dishonor, discredit, disgrace, dismantle. Something that you would do to other people with your words. Now, I did a little research, and Google has scanned 12 million books. And so you can actually do some research and find how often a word is used in literature. And so I went back and looked at the word diss, and here's what I found. Check out this graph. You can see that the word dissing over the past century, it's trending in our culture. Now, you don't need the graph to know that. I mean, you can just go through your news feed and you can see that dissing is trending. You can listen to conversations. See, if you diss somebody in the room, you usually do that to try to impress other people to get a laugh. If you diss somebody that's not in the room, that's called gossip. And you usually do that to try to make other people feel better about you or to try to feel better about yourself, try to feel superior. And so dissing is trending in the culture. And now we know that the words that we say matter because we can remember things that were said to us 10, 20, and 30 years ago. And the proverb writer alludes to this. Let me show you a verse from the Proverbs. It says, "The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit," Proverbs 18, 21. What he's saying is that your words are powerful. The words that you speak have power on them. They have the power of life and death. Words are powerful. And when you're careless with your words, you can do great damage. You can crush somebody's spirit. You can step on somebody's dream. You can fill someone with resentment. You can cause people, even your own children, to be afraid of you. But on the other hand, a word that is given, a right word that's given at the right time has power on it. It has the power of life. You can encourage somebody who's exhausted. You can help breathe life into someone's dream. You can help someone who's feeling defeated rise up. You can help someone who's thinking about giving up have hope. You can help guide someone who's lost along the way. See, our words are powerful. They have the power of life and of death. And throughout the Proverbs, I think it's 7 times the proverb writer connects the mouth to the heart. And Jesus sums it up well in Matthew when he says that out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Here's what he's saying is that you don't have a mouth problem, you have a heart problem. And that what's in your heart will eventually make its way out of your mouth. So no matter how much willpower you have to try to change your mouth, there won't be lasting change unless you change your heart. And so what I want to talk about today is an issue of the heart. I want to talk about something that's going on in the heart that's at the heart of relationships. And if you have it, it will help you maximize joy in relationships and minimize regret. And I want to give the word to you. The word is honor. Today we're going to talk about honor. And honor is not doing so well in our culture. If dissing is trending, honor is not. I did the same research on the word honor, and here's what I found. Honor's headed down. Honor's headed toward extinction in our culture and in our world. And you know why the enemy of our souls wants honor to be extinct from our lives? Because he has come to steal, kill, and destroy. And honor extends life. Honor promotes relationships. Honor helps people flourish. So let me give you a definition of honor, a simple definition of honor. If you got your teaching notes, you can fill in the blanks. Honor is the gift of communicating and demonstrating the value of other people in relationships and roles. Honor is the gift of communicating and demonstrating the value of people in relationships and roles. Now, honor, I mean, we're gonna kind of dissect this definition a little bit. Honor is a gift that you give. See, respect can be earned, but honor is given. It's a gift that you give to other people by the words that you say and by your actions. It goes beyond obedience. Obedience is an action. Honor is an attitude of the heart. And it's demonstrated and communicated. And throughout the scriptures, we see that honor takes place in relationships. And in our home, we're trying to build a culture of honor. And with 4 kids, I mean, we're working really hard toward that. See, we want to honor them and we want them to honor us. We want to value that. One way that we try to build that is we kind of have a tradition where when our kids turn five, and I need to tell you, if you don't know, Rhea and I have four kids, and they're all named after cities in North Carolina, Raleigh, Camden, Durham, and Bolton. And we ran out of cool city names, so we stopped having kids. I mean, I'm just kidding. But we have, actually, we have four kids. That was what happened. And so our youngest is Bolton, and he just turned five this year. And so when they turn five, we take them to their city where they can read their name on signs, and it just adds to the fun. And so we took Bolton to a city, and we were really worried about this trip because I did a little research and found out that Bolton, North Carolina, has a population of 482. Thought this is going to be the lamest trip we've had yet. But we got there, and it was one of the best trips we've had. Because when we got to the town, through a course of events, we got to meet the mayor of Bolton, North Carolina. And Bolton got his picture made with the mayor. I got a picture of that. You can see the sign back behind says Bolton. And up on the water tower it says Bolton. And there's little Bolton with the mayor of Bolton. It was just the coolest day. And here's what happened is we extended honor to the mayor of Bolton because we increased his annual tourism by 100%. And he extended honor to little Bolton by giving him a tour around the town and giving him a little pin with his name on it. And what I want you to see from that is that honor takes place in the context of relationships. Throughout the scriptures, honor is relational. That's where it happens. And the Bible tells us in Malachi to honor God. Scripture tells us in Exodus to honor our parents. In Peter, it talks about honoring your spouse. You go through the scriptures, you find that it talks about honoring governmental leaders and honoring spiritual leaders and honoring your bosses. It talks about honor. And 1 Peter just kind of covers it all. It says, honor all people. How is honor doing in your life? Is dishonor trending or is honor on trend? See, you survey the landscape of the world around us and you see that for the most part, honor is going down. But here's what I want you to know. While honor may not be trending in the world and in the culture, honor is trending in heaven. See, the Trinity is the ultimate demonstration of honor. Let me show you what I mean. When we talk about the Trinity, we believe that we have one God who exists in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One God, three persons. And what we see is that the Father, when you read through the Gospels, you read through the Bible, you find that the Father honors the Son. He says, my beloved Son, with whom I'm well pleased. And then you see that the Son honors the Father, glorifies the Father in all things. He says, I only do what I see the Father doing. And you see the Father sends the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit points to the Son, and the Son points back to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit honors the Father. And there is this ongoing circle of honor that's going on in the Trinity. What's life like in the Trinity? There's not a lot of arguing over who's the oldest. They're not competing over who is the most omnipotent, omniscient, or omnipresent. Life in the Trinity is full of honor. And in heaven right now, honor is trending. And what I love about this is when Jesus steps to earth, when Jesus comes to earth, he brings honor with him. And he doesn't wait for other people to honor him. He extends honor to people who have been dissed their entire life. Jesus sees people. One way that Jesus demonstrates honor is that he sees people, people that other people overlook, that the religious system overlooked, that society overlooked. Jesus sees him, a tax collector who would have been hated in that day. Jesus sees him up in a tree. He pays attention to him. A woman who is impure, pressing through a crowd just to get close to him. He sees her. He pays attention to her. A blind man who's crying out from a street corner. Jesus sees him. Jesus pays attention to him. God in flesh pays attention. And that's one way that we can demonstrate honor to other people, that we can communicate and demonstrate value, is by paying attention to them. And man, we get dissed all the time in conversation, or at least have you ever been dissed in a conversation? You're talking with somebody and they just pull out their cell phone and they start texting while you're talking to them. They're like, no, what you're saying is really important, but I just got to find the right emoji. I mean, you know, it's just like, we experience that. And as technology has increased in our culture, a sense of honor has decreased. We were at a family dinner a while back, and my brother-in-law had an idea because everybody was kind of on their phone. He said, let's just stack all our phones at the center of the table and let's just have a conversation. And so this is a picture. The irony of this picture is that somebody had to take their phone and snap a picture of all the phones at the center of the table. Man, we have to work toward communicating. And I struggle with this sometimes, paying attention and staying focused, but when you focus and when you pay attention to someone, what it says is that you are the most important person to me right now. And what you're saying is the most important to me. And the reason that they call it paying attention is because it costs you something. It costs you your time. It costs your energy. It costs your emotional energy. Pay attention. It says, I honor you. I value you. And Jesus paid attention to people. He saw people. He didn't just see people. He saw people as God sees people. He saw people who were made in the image of God. He saw people who were made in the image of God. And see, our world gets real confused about value. We think our value has to do with the gradation of our how talented we are, or how gifted we are, or how smart we are, intelligent we are, or how attractive we are. We get real confused about this. As Martin Luther King Jr. said, there are no gradations in the image of God. We're made in the image of God. And to a world that gets confused about this, God says, if you want to know how valuable you are, look no further than the cross. Because on the cross, you see that you're worth the life of my son, whose worth is beyond calculation. You matter to God. And you know what? When you pay attention to people, when you honor people, when you give value to people, what you're demonstrating to them is that you honored to me because you matter to God. And when they understand that they matter to God, then they get to experience that same honor that's in relation that they were created for. Man, when you give honor, you make up there come down here. You make up there come down here. And so honor has a high return on investment in our lives. It's not just the person that we give honor to that gets blessed. It's also that it has a high return on investment. The ROI is high. So I want to give you three ways that you experience ROI from honor. So the high rate of return, the rewards that come from honor. First verse I want to show you is from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2. Now the first thing I want you to see is that honor extends life. And I want to show you. He says, you will extend life. That's the first reward. The verse I want to show you is Ephesians 6, 2 to 3. It says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you, that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Now, Moses talked about this and Jesus talked about this. Here, Paul talks about this, that when you give honor, when you extend honor, that honor actually extends the duration and the quality of your life. That if you extend honor to your parents, it will actually extend the duration and the quality of your life. I love how Dallas Willard unpacks this. He says, this promise is rooted in the realities of the human soul. A long and healthy existence requires that we be grateful to God for who we are, and we cannot be thankful for who we are without being thankful for our parents through whom our life came. Now, maybe you grew up in a home that was toxic or abusive, and it's real hard to find something to be grateful for. Maybe the best way you could honor your parents is begin by asking God to help you forgive them. And we got to be careful when we speak of our parents, because what we hold up is what we inherit. If you hold up the good, you inherit the good. If you hold up the bad and judgment and bitterness, you bring that back on yourself. And see, by honoring our parents, we also model for our own children and for the next generation how we want them to honor us. And which leads us to our second way that honor has a high ROI, and it's you reap what you sow. You literally reap what you sow. The other morning, I heard the boys arguing at the breakfast table downstairs, and I went downstairs and I asked what was going on. And I've got a son that's 7, a son that's 5, and asking what's going on. That's just like throwing kerosene on the fire, and they both start arguing their case. And then I said, listen, we're going to do something fun today. And they were sitting there in their pajama pants without a shirt on, and I told my son, I said, I'm going to write down what we're going to do today. And so on his back, I wrote the letter K-I-N-D. And he said, Kind? And my wife said, long eye. He said, kind? And I said, yeah. We're going to do something fun. We're going to show kindness. He said, that's not fun. He said, that's only fun for the other person. I said, well, and I just saw, this is a moment. This is a teachable moment. So I said, you know what, Durham, I was down at the garden this morning, and I went down where we planted that squash, and you know what I found? I found strawberries. And there were strawberries there. He said, no. And I said, yeah, there were strawberries there. And he said, no. And I said, why? Because where we planted squash, there's, he said, squash. I said, that's right. And where you plant kindness, there is, he said, strawberries. And I said, no. He missed it. I think he missed the point. But then I realized there are people who are planting squash all around them, and they're surprised that there aren't any strawberries. See, you reap what you sow. If you plant squash, you're gonna get squash. If you sow seeds of dishonor, you're gonna get seeds, you're gonna get dishonor. I had a boss in my first church position who, an old wise pastor who pulled me aside and he said, Kevin, I just wanna tell you. He said, how you honor the authorities that are over you is how the people that you lead will honor you. See, if you sow seeds of dishonor and disrespect, if you diss the leaders who are over you, the people who you lead will diss you. You reap what you sow. In Galatians, it puts it this way. It says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. If you want strawberries, if you're looking around you and you're just seeing dishonor, that maybe if you're just seeing squash, maybe it's time to start planting some strawberries. Maybe it's time to start giving out and extending honor. And when you extend honor, when you give honor to others, honor comes back on you. And the third way that honor has a high ROI is that when you give honor, the reward is this: you will be open to receive from the giftedness of others. When you give honor, you'll be open to receive from the giftedness of others. In Matthew chapter 10, look with me at this verse. In Matthew chapter 10, 41 says, whoever welcomes a prophet, this is Jesus speaking, whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. Whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. Meaning if you extend honor, if you honor a prophet, you're gonna get back the reward that that prophet has to give you. If you extend a righteous person, if you honor them, you'll receive back that reward. Here's what I want you to see. Is that your ability to receive from someone's giftedness is connected. You can only draw from that to the degree by which you honor them. And this is why I believe that the enemy works for us to diss one another inside the church, to stir up dissension inside the church. Because when we diss a brother or sister in Christ, when we diss a ministry team, somebody on the ministry team leader, when we diss a small group leader, or we diss a pastor or a teacher, when we diss someone, we diminish our ability to receive from their gift. Notice with me, in Mark chapter six, Jesus goes back to his hometown, and he's at his hometown. He's back to the place where he grew up. And while he's there, there are people who are saying things like, isn't this Mary and Joseph's son? And isn't this the one who didn't graduate college? Isn't this the one who was a carpenter? And they began speaking about him that way. And look what happens. Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown, among his relatives and in his own home. And he could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. Here's what I want you to see. It didn't say that Jesus would not do any miracles there. It said that he could not do any miracles there. Why? Because of a lack of honor. You can only draw from someone's giftedness to the degree by which you extend honor to them. Honor is powerful. Honor extends the duration and quality of our life. Honor actually, when we give it, it comes back on us. And then we become open to receive from the giftedness of others. No wonder the enemy wants dissing to trend in our culture. And who knows what it's costing us. But if you want the rate of return, you got to extend honor. So I want to talk with you about four ways that you can begin to extend honor, that you can trend honor in your life and in your leadership. The very first one is to share words of affirmation. To share words of affirmation, to give words of affirmation to others. It's powerful to give affirming words because your words contain the power of life and death. A story from Abraham Lincoln's life that I came across illustrates this. When he was 33 years old, before he was president, he publicly dissed a banker named James Shelton. Now, the banker was from Missouri, and by Missouri state law, dueling was legal. And so Shelton challenged Lincoln to a duel. Now, Lincoln wasn't a violent man, but according to the rules of the challenge, he got to pick the weapon that would be used. And since he was 6'4" and Shelton was 5'9", he chose the longsword that gave him the reach advantage. And when they went down to the moment when they would duel it out, a mutual friend stepped in between and worked out a truce between them. And it was said from that day, listen, that Lincoln never ridiculed another man. He understood the power of words. But we also see that he understood the power of affirming words, because in the Library of Congress are the contents from his pockets the night that he died. And in his pockets, there was a pocket knife, and there was a handkerchief, and there was a lens cleaner, and there was a pocket watch, and there was a brown leather billfold. And inside that billfold, there were 9 newspaper clippings from letters that people had written with affirming words. See, Lincoln treasured those words. And if Lincoln knew the power of affirming words, and if he needed that affirmation, how much more so the people that we're in relationships with? That's why it's so powerful when a husband will lock eyes with his wife and say, I love you. I love you. It is so powerful when a wife will look at her husband and she'll say, I'm proud of you. I'm so proud of you. Those affirming words have the power of life. That's why it's so powerful when a person steps into a workplace, into an office place, and looks around and they see the greatness on others, and they stop and they say something, they celebrate it. See, some people think they have a gift because they can see the weaknesses in others. That's not a gift. Anybody can do that. But greatness, see, the people who lead well and the people who carry honor are the people who can see greatness in others and they celebrate it, they speak it. See, words of honor are powerful when you extend them. Share those words. And here's what I've learned. I've learned that if you're looking for what's wrong in your job and in your marriage and your family and in your church and your neighborhood, and your boss, if you're looking for what's wrong in your work, you'll find it. But if you're looking for what's right in your marriage and your family, in your job, in your neighborhood, in your church, in your school, you'll find that too. You tend to find what you're looking for. And when you see greatness, say it, communicate it, write the note, give the words. That's a way that we extend honor. Second way that we extend honor is that we show appreciation. If you want to give honor, if you want honor to trend in your life, show your appreciation. I want you to do this with me. Would you just clap your hands with me? Hearing it all the campuses. Now that sound, there's just something about that sound. What is that sound? That's the sound of appreciation. That's the sound of positive recognition. And there's something about hearing that sound. On the 4th of July, I ran the Peachtree Road Race. And Peachtree Road Race is just 6-point-something miles, just people just clapping their hands as you're running. I mean, it's motivating. I mean, people coming, there were some 12-stoners who were handing out water, and they started clapping. I mean, I just felt like Rocky. I mean, I was just going, I mean, I felt like a Kenyan, man. I was just out there going after it. And there's something that's motivating about that applause. But we don't hear applause all that often. In life, we don't hear that appreciation all that often. There's a book called The Carrot Principle, and in that book, the authors did some research, and what they found is that 69% of North American workers said that they did not receive praise or recognition in the past year. And 79% of top performers who changed jobs in the past year said that one of the main reasons that they did so is they didn't receive that affirmation. They didn't receive the praise or the recognition for the work that they'd done. They also found that the companies that figured out how to give praise and how to give recognition, that they were 3 times as profitable. There's no monetary cost to this. But when you give it, the value is huge. Kim Blanchard, kind of a leadership guru, has said that the last time that most people hear applause after their name is at their high school graduation. And we can be the people that change that. But why don't we do this more often? Why don't we applaud other people more often? Why don't we show our appreciation for them? You know what I think it is? I think it is because you don't want to be the person that stands up to give a standing ovation and start clapping and nobody else join you. That's an awkward moment. You don't want to be a fool like that. But listen, the person of honor knows that the fool is the person who sees greatness and does nothing. And when you show your appreciation for people, man, it's huge. But I think pride keeps us from doing it too. I think pride holds us back. I read a definition of narcissism. The narcissist is the person who lives every day like it's their birthday. See, we like to take Bolton to North Carolina for his 5-year-old birthday. But when Bolton decides to move to Bolton, North Carolina, so he can be the biggest deal in the town, that's an issue. And there are some people who walk around like that. You know how to keep from being that person? Focus on giving honor. Because you can't focus on getting honor and giving honor at the same time. But be a person who focuses on giving honor. Let other people know that you thank them. I was challenged at my 20th birthday that instead of waiting for birthday cards, that I should write letters, thank you. Letters of appreciation to my parents and my grandparents. And so I sat down and I wrote those letters, didn't think much about it until we went to my grandfather's house a couple years later when he passed away and we were cleaning out his things. And that letter that I wrote was on his nightstand. So his words were powerful. A way that we extend honor is to show our gratitude. The way that we show honor is to speak those words. So say it. Write the note. Take the moment to show your appreciation. Another way that we extend honor, if you're taking notes, if you want it to trend in your life, is to give credit where credit is due. It's to give credit to others. That's how we extend honor. We give credit to others. And one of the best examples that I've seen of this was this past year when Kevin Durant got the MVP award for the NBA season. And in that acceptance speech, he gave credit to God first, and then he went through each one of his teammates and gave credit to them. And then at the end, he gave credit to his mom. I want you to see that little moment from the speech.
One of the best memories I had is when we moved into our first apartment. No bed, no furniture, and we just all sat in the living room and just hugged each other. Because we thought we made it. And when something good happens to you, I don't know about you guys, but I tend to look back to what brought me here. And you wake me up in the middle of the night in the summer times, making me run up a hill, making me do push-ups, screaming at me from the sideline of my games at 8 or 9 years old. We wasn't supposed to be here. You made us believe. You kept us off the street, put clothes on our backs, food on the table. When you didn't eat, you made sure we ate. You went to sleep hungry. You sacrificed for us. You're the real MVP.
Great picture of honoring a parent, but a great picture of giving credit where credit is due, giving credit to others. And what I love about that is he said, what do you do when something good happens to you? You look back and you see the people who helped you get there. And you give credit to them. And what you do whenever you receive honor, you get alone with God and you say, God, I think I've got something that belongs to you. Give credit to him. That's why worship is so powerful in our life. That's why worshiping together every 7 days is powerful in our life, because it's us coming to God and saying, God, we give you all the credit. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. We give you all the praise. Worship is giving credit where credit is due. It's taking our attention off a preoccupation with self and trying to get honor. It's us becoming a people who give honor to God and give credit to others. Well, what keeps us from giving credit to others? I think it's what Stephen Covey calls the scarcity mentality. Let me read to you. He says, most people are deeply scripted in what I call the scarcity mentality. They see life as having only so much, as though there were only one pie out there. And someone were to get a big piece of the pie, it would mean less for everybody else. The scarcity mentality is a zero-sum paradigm of life. And people with a scarcity mentality have a very difficult time sharing recognition and credit, even with those who helped in the production. They also have a very hard time being genuinely happy for the success of other people. The abundance mentality, on the other hand, flow out of a deep inner sense of personal worth and security. It's the paradigm that there is plenty out there and enough to spare for everybody. It results in sharing of prestige, of recognition, of profits, and of decision-making. It opens possibilities, options, alternatives, and creativity. The abundance mentality. They have another name for scarcity mentality. In basketball, do you know what it is? A ball hog. A ball hog is a person with a scarcity mentality, and you find ball hogs at every level of play, from the YMCA to the NBA. And a ball hog is a person who puts themselves before the team, person who doesn't give the ball to others, person who holds it to themselves, person with a scarcity mentality. But I started thinking about this. What does the ball hog want? They want words of affirmation. They want appreciation. They want credit. But they don't know that the way that you get honor is that you pass the ball, which is number four. Pass the ball to others. You pass the ball. If you want to be a person who trends in honor, you gotta pass the ball to others. When you give others the ball, when you give other people an opportunity to use their giftedness, what you demonstrate is that I value you, I believe in you. I believe that you can win. I wanna give you a moment. And when you pass the ball to others, you're extending honor to them. You give them honor. I think one of the most unforgettable pieces of film that I've seen, a clip that demonstrates this, was trending this past year. And it's a clip that I want to share with you, and I want you to look for honor within it. Check it out.
Little things.
Coach Peter Morales of the Coronado High School Thunderbirds in El Paso, Texas, makes no qualms about it. He has a favorite on this team.
Mitchell, I need you. I need you to help me out with my coaching tips, Mitchell.
Team manager Mitchell Marcus has a developmental disability.
One, two, three.
And he far surpasses everyone here when it comes to love of the game.
He's this amazing person that our basketball team loves being around.
Yay! Mitchell's mom, Amy, says he's always been that way.
Mitchell always had a basketball. That was always what he wanted for his birthday.
And because basketball is that important to him, on the last game of the regular season, the coach told Mitchell to suit up.
What was it like to put on the uniform?
I was very happy.
I imagine you were.
Just wearing a jersey was enough for Mitchell. But what he didn't know, what no one knew at the time, was that the coach planned to play him at the end, no matter what the score.
You were prepared to lose that game?
For his moment, yes. For his moment in time, yes.
And so, with a minute and a half left, Coronado leading, but only by 10, Coach Morales put in his manager.
And just started hearing Mitchell, Mitchell.
Mitchell, Mitchell.
But here's where the fairy tale fell apart. Although his teammates did everything they could to get Mitchell a basket, each time they passed him the ball, he either missed the shot or, like on their last possession, booted it out of bounds, turning the ball over to the other team with just seconds left.
He wasn't going to be able to score, but I was hoping that he was happy that he was just put in the game.
Could you have ever imagined what happened next?
No, I did. I could not. Not at all.
What happened next happened on the inbound. The guy with the ball there is a senior at Franklin High School, number 22, Jonathan Montañez.
I was raised to treat others how you want to be treated. Just thought Mitchell deserved his chance, deserved his opportunity.
I think I'll cry about it for the rest of my life.
What Jonathan did was yell out Mitchell's name, then threw the ball right to it, right there. One of the most memorable turnovers of all time. It wasn't the game-winning shot. When the buzzer sounded, Coronado had 15 more points than Franklin. But Jonathan's assist and Mitchell's basket did change the outcome decidedly. Play any game with this much sportsmanship, both teams win. Steve Hartman on the road in El Paso, Texas.
And why do we applaud in moments like that? Because it's honor. Because it's up there, come down here. Because it's seeing the greatness and seeing the value of another person and communicating and demonstrating that. That's honor. And when you extend honor to other people, up there comes down here through your life. So before I turn it over to the campus pastors, I got a couple questions for you. The first one is, where is a relationship in your life right now where dishonor is trending? Maybe it's at work, or maybe it's in family. Maybe it's in the neighborhood. Where is dishonor trending? Maybe it's in school. But it's important for us to ask God to search our heart and search our life and to look for where dishonor is trending in our life. And the second question is, how can you demonstrate honor this week? How can you give honor to someone else Maybe it's going out of your way to give words of affirmation or finding a way to show your appreciation. Maybe it's giving credit to other people instead of just taking it for yourself. Or maybe it's giving someone else an opportunity to shine. Let me pray with you. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, we thank you for loving us and creating us in your image, creating us in a way where we can know you and have a relationship with you, creating us in a way where we can extend honor to you. And thank you for the way that you value us, for the way that you have honored us by giving us your son, Jesus, where you have loved that value into us. And God, I pray that today we would receive, for some, it's just to receive that value that you've given us. Some who have thought they're worthless, thought they don't matter. I pray that today you would press into their hearts that they matter to you. And God, would you forgive us in places of our lives where we've made other people feel worthless, where we've devalued other people, where we've said things that have wounded. I pray that you would give us the courage to go back and to apologize. That you would give us courage to be people who share words of affirmation. That you give us courage to be people who be, maybe it's the only person standing to give applause, but we would celebrate the greatness in others that you've placed there. And then God, that we would be a people, a worshiping people who would give back all credit to you. And then when we do get any honor in our lives, God, that we would give credit to others. And God, I pray that we wouldn't be people who hold things to ourselves, but that we would be a people who share and create just these moments, life-changing moments for others here on earth where heaven comes down here. And so Lord, I pray that you would take this day and this word that you've pressed into our heart and make us a people of honor so that you would be honored, be about your glory, your name, your renown. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.